The reading is from James 5, verses 13 to 20. That's on page 1216 in the Pew Bibles. So that's James 5, verses 13 to 20, on page 1216. The prayer of faith. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Thanks very much. It's always a joy to come together as the people of God to worship and to praise God. And thanks for the good singing and a good interview that got us going. My task, as given to me by those who lead the church here, is to finish up the book you were studying, James, under the theme that the difference that faith makes. 8 verses of scripture, amazing, that we all need to pay just special and careful attention to, because it's like crescendo to this wonderful book. Faith in the book of James bookends it. It begins with faith and it ends with faith. So it speaks a lot to our lives right away. That's how our journey should be. If faith begins and faith ends, guess what comes in the middle? Faith is embedded in this whole book. It just flows through it. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and then into chapter 5. So it's embedded like a bright colored pattern in the fabric of this book. And if you look at the different areas that it covers, it makes a difference in our prayers, it makes a difference in our trials, in the handling of our brothers and sisters, not to mention visitors when they come in. It makes a difference in our status before God when James tells us that some people are poor in the world, but they're rich in faith. Which one would you choose? The answer is obvious. And it makes a difference in our good works. Chapters 3 and 4, there is not much mention of James. And when we come to chapter 5, what the writer does is comes right back into the area of faith. But James uses a very, the word is, smart way of forcing us to think about faith. And what he does is this. Instead of using the word faith, he couches it in prayers. Because if you think carefully, a prayer that is worth a prayer must have faith. Or else you're praying to yourself, or you're just praying to an idol. But if we believe that God hears our prayers, God sees us when we pray, then we have to have faith that our prayers would work. And it's no mistake that the Old Testament saints mentioned in James all survived through faith. We had Abraham in chapter 2. And then he comes to chapter 5, he mentions Job. Could you have survived such a journey without faith? Then he closes off with Elijah, who comes back to us time and time again through the Gospels as really a champion of faith. But in these 8 verses, what difference does faith make? I want to suggest 4 things that these verses unfold for us. 4 things that will affect us all. First of all, faith makes a difference in our individual and personal lives, verses 13 to 15. Faith makes a difference as a collective body of believers, verse 16. Faith makes a difference in the prophetic life of the church, and that all churches need to have a prophetic life and ministry. And finally, faith makes a difference in what we say the restoration ministry of a church. So those are the 4 areas that James pulls together as he forces us once more, as he closes this wonderful book of 108 verses, to remember. First of all, in our individual and personal lives, James sits us down and he's going to interrogate us. He begins by asking a simple question. Is any one of you in trouble? Now, what could we answer? If there's nobody here that has never been in trouble, you haven't lived yet. Okay? Even babies get into trouble. Yeah, so the questions are to force us to answer. Is anyone happy? Is any one of you sick? So here, it's an individual thing that we are forced to examine ourselves and ask, what do I do when I'm in trouble? What do I do when I'm happy? What do I do when I'm sick? And the answer is, it begins by saying, pray. To pray means one must apply faith. So we are forced to answer the question. And James points us to 2 great areas of need in the church, prayer and praise. Both of them are only sustained by faith. We need faith to pray, and that is why sometimes it's difficult to have people come to prayer meetings. But we also need faith to praise. Suffering tends to lead us to prayer, and sufficiency should lead us to praise. But both of them takes an effort of faith, because if you're going to praise God, you have to have faith to admit that what you have achieved is not your own doing. It's God's own doing. Hence, that is where faith comes in. But then James forces out to ask this question. Is any one of you sick? The idea here is any suffering. Over the years and over the centuries, commentators have forced us into the belief that it only means physical suffering. But in the wider context, if you understand what James is driving at, he's also driving at spiritual suffering. Suffering that impacts any area of our life. So don't just lock it into physical suffering, because the use of the term sometimes causes us to get the impression that physical health is only a prayer away. Yes and no. Yes and no. Because God does answer prayers for people who are physically ill. But as you work your way through that text, you get the impression that the words used give the impression of weary and tired and somehow losing steam to continue. And that is clear in the context that James was writing to a set of people who were suffering, who were in exile, who were refugees, something we see on our screens today. And in some ways, the church is in exile. The Bible says we have no abiding city here. We look for one that is to come. And it's easy for us as we journey day in and day out through persecution and challenges to grow weary and to grow tired. And James is saying the only way you can continue is to pray. Note carefully what he says. He should pray. And then he says, if you are sick, call the elders. If you're weary, if you're tired, let the people, the pastoral people, refresh you. Refresh you. The prayer ordered in faith will make the sick person well. But note carefully the emphasis that switches. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. We all know of many who have called on elders to pray physically, but just a small percentage of those become healed, and the majority remains ill. Does it mean that prayer doesn't work? Yes, it does work. But I think James wants to tell us that the greater illness in our souls is our spiritual illness. The greater concern is to make sure that we are well spiritually. Because if our spiritual lives are out of whack, then we are in serious trouble. Because note carefully, the emphasis is, if the person has sinned, he will be forgiven. So it's quite easy to realize that one of the issues here is the battle we have in finding forgiveness for ourselves, from others, and from God. And having an unforgiving spirit is one way we can go downhill spiritually very quick, become unwell, become useless, become neutral. So the first thing that faith is important for is our individual and personal lives. But the second thing that's important for is for all of us as a believer, as believers in the church. Look at verse 16. Kind of a conclusion. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Ooh, me tell that sister? She's going to run quick and tell somebody what I'm doing. Okay, me tell that brother? He is a yappity yappity brother. So what is he saying? What is he saying? To confess, to share with someone, takes faith. Faith in God that the person is mature enough. Faith in God that in sharing, God will give a release. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That is for the church. A concern for each other that we can advance by faith. Please note that the prayer here brings results not from the other person, but from God. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. How we need this today in our churches, and if it's practice, it refreshes the life of the fellowship. It lightens the load of your pastoral team or your prayer team. And it gets everybody looking to God in faith. What he's talking about in this collective body of believers is what's called body life ministry. Where all of us as priests before God and as believers, we have a role to play in each other's lives. But that role could only be based in by faith. As you ask God, God, what can I do to assist or to help someone? Not forcing yourself upon them. Because to confess to someone takes courage and it takes faith. But God wants us to show that if we do it, it sure makes a difference. If we just leave the confession to the pastoral team, to your pastoral team, then you overload them. It becomes something like what happened to Moses, you remember? He was sitting from morning till evening to listen to all the cases. Along comes his father-in-law, a good father-in-law, by the way, and says, this thing is going to tire you. And today, in our churches, we have a lot of tired leaders. And if we can learn by the Spirit of God to learn the ministry of confession to each other and praying for each other, then it will transform the life of the church and refresh it and cause people to know that they can make a contribution to people's lives. So first, collectively, individually, second, collectively. But the third thing he says in verses 17 and 18 is faith makes a difference in the prophetic life of the church. What do I mean by that? I mean that the church must have a voice to speak what God is doing, what God plans to do. And the church must do so with a clear voice. There are so many issues today in the UK that we need the prophetic voice of the church. Too long do we listen to the politicians. Why do I say that? Now look at the example that James gives us in verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a human being. So you think a prophet is somebody special? No. All he is saying is that we too, as a church, have a role collectively to have a prophetic voice. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced his crops. The prophetic life of a church is based on faith, because as he cites the prophets, James is doing two things. In the first place, he's saying, are we known as a prophetic voice in our community? Note carefully what Elijah was prophesying about, not the people of God, about what's going on in society. So the prophetic voice is both for in the church and out beyond the walls of the church, and that is done through faith. But secondly, what he is emphasizing is the nature of Elijah. He is saying you don't have to have a halo or a special place on a stained glass window to have a prophetic voice. All he is saying is that through praying earnestly, we can make a difference in having a prophetic voice. So before we open our mouths, he is simply saying to us via Elijah, first of all, pray. First of all, have faith. First of all, trust God. And the reason why he's saying that is to remind us that God is the one who makes the transition. And finally, not only individually, not only the collective body of believers, not only the prophetic life of the church, but he closes in verses 19 and 20 by speaking of the restoration ministry of the church. Verses 19 and 20. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring the person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. James now is tender as he was in the beginning as he closes this letter. He calls to his readers, my brothers, and he asks them to think. Think of how many of you started this race. Think of how many of you have dropped out. Where are they? What are you doing about them? Are you going to leave them to run wild, to ruin their souls, their testimony, to have a purposeless and a useless life? James is saying, no, pause a moment. Don't just enjoy God's blessings here. Don't just say, I am saved, I am doing well. What about the other people out there who once used to be in church, who once used to walk by faith, who once used to live for the Lord? Where are they today? Are we seeking them? Are we seeking to restore them and bring them back? Are we, because we want to have them on track with us. So James is saying, look beyond your own small world, our own interest, and think about those who have wandered. And I'm sure if I were to pause now and speak to you and say, tell me, do you know someone in your life, in your family, who began the walk, who did the talk, but somehow have become cold and drifted? Are we concerned for them? Are we going to bring them back? The answer is only faith could help you to do that. Because you got to pray and believe that the efforts you will make, God will answer your prayer. And so faith is very, very important. So put another way, this is what he's saying. Faith is important individually as a priority. Faith is important collectively as we confess. It takes humility to confess. Faith is important as prophetic because it needs to be a ministry. And finally, for restoration, faith is important because we are a family. And none of us are happy when a family member is missing. So faith is important as a priority. Faith makes a difference if we realize we need humility. Faith also makes a difference if we are committed to ministry. And finally, faith makes a difference if there is a sense of family. May God bless you. Amen.